Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Truly we come together on today to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus, to lift up Jesus and give him all the praise, glory, and honor that is due unto his holy name. On today, we're coming together and going to be speaking on another glorious lesson, and we're going to be talking in regards to storm warning, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through verse number 17. And we're also going to look at some of the other scriptures, such as Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through verse 29, as well as Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Now, let us look at the scripture text on today as what we're going to be speaking from on today out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 21, verses 7 to verse 17. And before we go there, we're going to go ahead and just pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we come right now and we come boldly unto the throne of God. We take this time to bind the devil and bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare and decree your sovereign and your holy will to be done and accomplish even right now. And Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so let us take a look at, as we look at our lesson for today, Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 17, and it reads on this line, and when we have finished our course from Tyrus, we came to Timotheus and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and were entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him on hand and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and should deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both and they of the place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he was not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And they went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manson of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Now let us take a look at another scripture text that we'll be using on today, and that's going to be found in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through verse 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called the call according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so again, We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, let us look further into our lesson on today. As we look at our main focus of our scripture, it's going to be verse number 13 out of the book of Acts, chapter 21. And it said, "Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be found only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Now, let us look further. It said, there are three important foundational truths upon which each Christian or Christian should build their lives. First, we should realize that if we pray daily for God to have his way in our lives, then whatever happened that day, we can accept as his will at work in us. This is the starting point of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we'll find that over in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. Now, Jesus followed this pattern in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the most important days of his life. The ability to accept life as God dictates it to us personally frees us from fear, doubt, and the temptation to constantly question why. What a comfort to know that we can walk in God's will. Now, one of the questions that I had posed earlier, even throughout the week, according to Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, and where the scripture over in chapter verse 2 said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." And we want to ascertain to being in the perfect will of God. And God said, if we acknowledge him through the scripture, states, if we acknowledge him first, he will direct our path. So as we are acknowledging God daily to direct our path, that his divine will be done in our lives each and every day, is very critical for us as the child of God. Now, let us look further. Second, we know that God is in ultimate control, and he has predestined plan for those who live according to his will. The psalmist wrote, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways." Psalm 37:23. Also, he who created all things included us in his master's plan. And we'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, which state, "In whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, there are no wasted events or times in what God is doing in each of our individual lives. He is always working to perfect us. There is purpose in every stroke of his brush as he paints the shades of colors, even in our lives. Now, thirdly, as the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 8, chapter verse 28 through verse 29. Now, God works with the end in mind and dovetails all things in our lives to bring about an ultimate development into his likeness. He mixes both good and bad, like so many colored tints, to bring something beautiful in our lives. And so in essence, he is working everything that is going on in the life of his people. God is going to bring good out of and going to add beauty into our lives from every test, every trial, and every tribulation that one has come through. If we love God and pray for his will to be done in our lives daily, then we can trust that he is working his will out through our lives, and he is using all things positively and to develop us in his predestinated plan. Now, what peace as well as joy and confidence we can enjoy no matter what the circumstances that surround us. As we journey into the latter days of Paul's life, we will learn how he maintained a positive attitude though he knew that the end was near, and we will observe how God gently guided his life ship into its final harbor. And so as we look and look even into our own very own lives, God is yet working in and through our lives, in through every situation, in through every circumstances, and in and through everything that we are doing in and through our lives. And so we must recognize that, and we must understand it as the children of God, and so that we can be greatly at peace with our own self, and even in the midst of every circumstance of tribulation that you're facing, recognizing that God is at work in and through our life. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter what is going on in and through our lives, God is working it all out for our good. Now, God prepares Paul for his future. Now, God goes ahead of his people, and he prepares the way before them. He may not tell us in advance what lies before us, but he will prepare us to face it. Now, a certain child of God may be temporarily surprised when suddenly facing a traumatic development that gently, afterward, they can look back and see the signature of God on all that has transpired. Now, just as the disciple did not understand as Jesus foretold of his death, many times we do not comprehend the meaning of an event in our lives until later. Now, John 12 and 16, these things understood not his disciple at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things which were written of him, that they have done these things unto him. Now, the Christian should have confidence in God that he is at work in their lives and he is preparing the path for them. And there are numerous passages of scripture that reveal that God prepared the ways for his people. Now, let's look at a couple here. When Abraham sent his oldest servant to find a wife for Isaac, he promised that God would send his angel before thee. And that's over in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7. Secondly, God told Moses in Exodus 23 and 20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Thirdly, God promised Moses that he would send an angel before his people to drive out the inhabitants of Canaan when they enter into it. Exodus 33 and 2. Now, though Jesus Christ, God became our perfect leader who went ahead of us and gave us an example to follow. Now, through his human experience, he has the credential to lead and forewarn us as we face difficulties along life's way. May we be sensitive to the Spirit as he guides us and obedient to those who have spiritual authority over us so that we will not frustrate God's purpose for our lives. Now, let us look further. Paul determines to go to Jerusalem. As we was reading of the scripture, Paul was determined to accomplish the will that God had for his life. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now, Acts 19 and 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." Now, it is interesting how God often places the desire in one's spirit to do something that will become the hinge upon which the whole life will be turned. Now, let's look. Paul, he had several reasons why he desired to go to Jerusalem. First of all, he was taking an offering to the poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem from Gentile churches in Macedonia and Achaia. And we can see that in Romans chapter 15, verses 25 to 28. He wanted his Jewish brethren to see how thankful the Gentiles were for the gospel that had been sent their way. Now, perhaps Paul hoped that this would tear down some divisive fences between these two branches of the church, which had previously been some doctrinal differences over observance of the law. Now, Paul also had a great love for his Jewish brethren, both for those in the flesh and for those of the church, and he wanted them to accept him. And in his earlier years, he was a violent, as we know, persecutor of the church. And if it had not been for the influence of Barnabas, his conversion would never have been accepted, much less his ministry. Now that he had proved his ministry, he wanted to show them his spiritual fruit. It also weighed heavily on his mind that most of his fellow Jews were still rejecting Christ. And you see Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. Paul felt that if he could visit Jerusalem, perhaps he could set the record straight and bring a measure of joy to this area of his life. Now, sometimes it is possible that a person to minister effectively in a particular area, not necessarily become, it is not God's will, but because of the lack of reception. And we recognize that many times, even sometimes in our own ministry, that sometimes you may be rejected by your own. And it's not that it is not God's will or his hand is upon you, moving you in the ministry and things, but sometimes people will reject what God is even doing in and through your life. Now, does that make God a lie or ineffective or in things? No. That means that we must continue on, even like we have the example here with Apostle Paul. He knew he needed to go to Jerusalem, but the people didn't want him to go to Jerusalem and things, but he had a need to go there, and he still yet pressed forward to do and accomplish the will of the Lord. Everybody's not going to understand that which God has called you or purposed you to do. But as you move forward, your ministry will be proven of itself because that you have did and accomplished the will of God for your life, and the fruit and the works and the sign will speak for itself. Whether God be true or not, even in your life, it shall speak and it will not tarry. It will speak on your behalf of what God is doing in and through your life. Now, let us look further. Sometimes we recognize that it's not possible for a person to minister effectively in a particular area, not necessarily because it's not God's will, but because of the lack, again, of the reception. So even Jesus was limited in his ministry to his hometown of Nazareth and barely escaped with his life. Now, Paul returned to Jerusalem and ultimately cost him his life. Yet even the threats of prison or death could not quench Paul's great desire to unite the Jewish and the Gentile faction of the church. Paul's desire to go to Jerusalem in the will of the God. And as a praying man, Paul desired to submit himself to God's will. Acts 16, verses 6 through 9, reveal a time when the Holy Ghost forbade Paul to preach in Asia. He then tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They passed from Mysia and came to Troas, where in a vision Paul was directed to go to Macedonia. Now, so let's look. If it were not the will of God for Paul to go to Jerusalem, then God surely would have directed Paul elsewhere. Paul was not a stubborn, self-willed man who pushed his desire above the will of God. Paul had a wonderful concept of how to live in the will of God, and he listed several points in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22, that will assist an individual in following God's will. And let us take a look at that, because many times we want to know the will of the Lord, but let's look at how and the list of things we can do to follow the will of the Lord and to help us. It said, number one, rejoice evermore. That's keep a positive attitude. Number two, pray without ceasing. Prayer must proceed and continue in all activities. Number three, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We should learn to thank God for all events in our life and accept them as God's will. Number four, quench not the spirit. We should not hinder what God is doing in our lives. Despise not prophesying. What we should allow the spiritual authority to instruct us. Number five, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Now, if any doubt, one should discover what the scripture has to say about the idea. Now, abstain from all appearance of evil. We should not even allow Satan any room to even operate in our lives, in our thoughts, in our spirit. So give no space to the devil and abstain from all appearance of evil in things. Paul went on in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 to express his desire that God would sanctify them wholly and preserve their spirit and body blameless until the coming of Christ. Now, that's how one can sustain themselves, those 7 points, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, quenching not the spirit, despising not prophesying, approving all things and holding fast that which is good, and to abstain from the appearance of evil. Now, Paul warned repeatedly not to go. Now, why did God allow others to warn Paul repeatedly of arrest and imprisonment if he went to Jerusalem? Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Acts 2:20, verses 22 and 23 said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abides me." Okay, Acts 21 and 4. "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." Now, let's look at Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 11. It said, "And when we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hand and feet and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, perhaps the reason God repeatedly warned Paul about his impending trip to Jerusalem is found in Amos 3 and 7. "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the prophet." God's people receive divine knowledge if they live in his will. They will not always know or understand the details of what God is doing, but they will always have the assurance of his will in their heart. Moreover, the word of God expresses his will, and he will not contradict his principles. Now, the child of God also needs spiritual leaders in their life who will help them to discern and know the will of God for their life. Every child of God should respect and maintain a close relationship with their pastor. As the shepherd of their soul, we will use the pastor's ministry to prepare them for the event ahead in their lives. And that is so true, because through the word, God will warn his people and let his people know. And I can attest as being one of the shepherdess, the under-shepherdess, and things are shepherdess here, that God will warn. God will even come and disturb the shepherd's sleep and get them up early to go out ahead of the flock and begin to hear from the shepherd as what he's speaking to his heart for his people, and then go back in and warn the sheep and warn those, or look for the fox or the wolves that are on their way and things. And that's what the shepherd does, that he or she is on the wall, is listening and hearing from God, as God, through the Holy Spirit, is leading and guiding them through all truth and letting them know what's coming over the horizon, and even revealing and uncovering even the wolves that will even come in the midst. So we must recognize that they have purpose. The pastor have purpose and things. They care about the souls of the flock. And if you say, well, I have trouble with my pastor, well, then perhaps you should go back to God and prayer, and pray for the man of God or the woman of God, because you don't know what type of attack that they're up under and things as to caring for the souls of those that they have up under their watch care. So pray for them. Stand in the gap for them. Fast for them. Ask God to lead, guide, and direct them. Now, we must recognize that even sometimes it's difficult to discern whether negative things associated with our lives are of God or are of Satan. How it is important it is then to receive spiritual counsel from an experienced man or woman of God. Like Samuel, when he was a small boy, we needed the wisdom of someone who knows the voice of God and would direct us correctly. Now, the voice of a wise pastor and that of God should sound alike. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. A good rule of thumb to remember is that Satan is the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. But God will confirm his will over and over again with two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 3, 13 and 1. So here you have the contrast as we stay in the word of the Lord to be able to discern and understand. If you find yourself in the midst of nothing but chaos and confusion and things, remember that Satan is the author of confusion. And on the other hand, in contrast, God will confirm his will over and over again by two or three witnesses. Now, if we will be sensitive to God's voice and humble ourselves, circumstances will not lead us astray. The spiritual authority God has placed in our life will help us to discern what is happening and will provide proper guidance. Even Eli, who could not discern whether Hannah was a drunken woman or a spiritual warrior, still gave correct prophetic counsel because God honored his office. If we live by the principles in God's word, God will guide our lives and protect us even from deception. But what we must do is guard our life and guide our life through and by the principles of God. Let us look further. We who will not listen to godly counsel and resist authority adamantly claim to know the will of God for themselves are headed for deception as well as trouble. Their strong insistence often is an effort to hide their self-will and hard-heartedness. These people will only learn from negative experiences if they will learn even at all. There is never an excuse for rebellion or self-will resistance of authority. It is akin to witchcraft. God establishes authority for the benefit of individuals. And we must recognize that, especially when we are living in a time when there's a lot of things that is attacking even authority, even godly authority in which God has placed even here on earth. Now, let us look further as we continue to get an understanding even about Paul when he was warned of this storm that was coming. Now, let's look. God in love prepares Paul. Now, Paul had already suffered much, as we know, facing repeated difficulties in life probably is one of the most difficult challenges we face. One would think that eventually he would graduate from these repetitive experiences. Why do we continually face difficulties in our life? There are probably numerous reasons. First, adversity builds character in our lives. And probably the greatest reason, however, is that adversity is part of the human experience from which none are exempt from. So we must recognize that while these things are going on, that God is building character. Now, Paul, he put it this way, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He certainly had experience to talk about it. He had been beaten numerous times and had been in prison often. Five times the Jews beat him with 39 stripes. Three times he was beaten with rod, and once he was stoned. Three times Paul experienced shipwreck, and he had spent the night and a day in the deep. He also had encountered robbers and dangerous waters in opposition of heathen. He knew what it would be to be in danger because of false brethren and unsympathetic countrymen. To be hungry and thirsty and to experience cold without adequate clothing. In addition to all external problems he faced, Paul carried the constant mental weight of caring for the churches that he had founded. See 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 28. It would appear that Paul had suffered enough and was due tranquil treatments and retirement, but that was not to be. Paul had more difficulties to face, but God never abandoned or failed to sustain him. So here we are looking at Paul's life. And God's warning him even of the difficulties that are coming. And so many times, sometimes even in our own lives, we can recognize some time of difficulties that are going on and transpiring, and you're thinking, God, when is this going to end? When is this going to stop? But we must recognize that God never, ever will leave or abandon us. He will always be there to sustain us as children of God, no matter where our life takes us. And so we must recognize that. And that's what we was cheering even on Sunday at church. We was talking, and God had us to share with the people of God. Prove it was the message that God given unto us. And what he was saying unto us, that no matter what, we must recognize that, yes, we're going to have tests, we're going to have trial, we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have mountaintop experiences, and yes, we're going to have valley experiences too. But the proving thereof is when we're in the midst of it all, that we are staying steadfast and unmovable, and he'll keep us if we have a desire to be kept. And those things are key for us because it is not promised that we are not going to be having trials or tribulation. It is not promised that we will always be on a mountaintop experience. But it is promised that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And we must recognize that. And wherever we find ourselves in, that we must recognize that God will sustain us until deliverance come, help come, until he move on our behalf. God will sustain sustain and keep his people. So if you find yourself in the midst of a storm, and you have already spoke to the winds, you spoke to the waves and the winds are still coming now. And even if you have fasted and prayed and you still seeing what and find yourself in the midst of that storm, recognize God is going to sustain you. God will not abandon you, but God will bring you forth as pure gold, and he's doing something far greater than anyone can imagine, because he is definitely developing character in our lives as we go through every test and we go through every storm in our lives. God is doing something far greater than we can even imagine in our mind or even in our spirit. Now let's take a look. God gave Paul personal attention. Now, God is interested also in our plight and will send others to help us. He'll send help people to comfort us and to direct us in the time of need. Now, through the incarnation, God is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And you can find that through Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Now, in other words, he sympathizes with our frailties and weaknesses. Psalms 103:14 shows us his empathy for us. He knoweth our frames, and he remembereth that we are dust. How wonderful to know that the one who we follow has been where we are and can help us through our own and through his own experiences that he had gone through. Hebrews 2 and verse 18 states, "For in himself has he suffered through being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted." And so we must recognize that even God, who was Jesus manifested in the flesh, was tempted and gone through many tests and trials. But guess what? He is able to succor and keep us and help us when we are being tempted and tried on every hand. Now, as Paul journeyed onward, he stopped for a visit with Philip, the evangelist in Caesarea. And it must have been a wonderful time of fellowship and reminiscing. Both of these men's ministry focused mainly on the conversion of those outside the Jewish church. While there, Agabus, a prophet from Judea, dropped by with a word from the Lord for Paul and gave him a personal demonstration of what was going to happen to him. Now, we find that in Acts chapter 21, verse 11, it says, "And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hand and feet and said, Thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentile." Now, even though the will of God for Paul included this negative experience, what a blessing it must have been to receive warning from one of his peers. To have been evil tidings brought by a friend is far better than to run headlong into it unaware. And we should cultivate people who will be our friends and who have won our confidence, people who are afraid to share with us their honest feelings. Those who live in isolation and independence are prone to become extremely blinded by their own self-will. Thank God for association with men and women who share our faith, spiritual experiences, and gospel message. God will use others to help us if we surround ourselves with positive mentors, positive associates, and positive advisors. With the coming of Agabus, we see God preparing Paul for what was near at hand. So here God, he was preparing Paul as what was getting ready to transpire in Paul's life. And so we must recognize, and that's why it's key for us to understand that, you know, sometimes people see things happen negatively as being sometimes out of the will of God. Now here, when we look at the scripture here and look at what was going on Paul's life, Paul was getting ready to go into a storm. Paul was getting ready to go into something that was getting ready to try his own very, very own soul. And we must recognize, children of God, yes, positive thinking is good. And positive thinking is going to help us, and staying positive is going to help us. But I come to tell you, child of God, you're going to need the name of Jesus. You're going to need the blood of Yeshua, the blood that was shedded on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. You're going to need the word of the Lord, and you're going to need God on your side, in your side, leading and guiding and directing you throughout whatever we find ourselves going through, even in life. Reason why I say that is because sometimes after we've lost a high, profound service and things, some people walk right straight dab into a storm and to life adversities or challenges. And we must be aware of the fact that when a storm do come into your life, what do you do? Continue to rejoice, yes. Continue to hold fast to the God's unchanging hand. All of these things, praying without ceasing and giving thanks and not quenching the spirit, proving all things. But how can we not quench the spirit when we see these things coming upon you? By staying in the spirit of prayer and saying, God, I know you got all things in control and that you will not leave me nor forsake me. Even as Agabus came to warn Paul that they are going to take and gave a demonstration even of what was getting ready to transpire, as it was said over in Amos, how that God was going to warn his man or woman of God, and nothing was going to take them over unaware of. He was going to send forth warning before it would even happen. And so here we find, here God has sent the prophet Agabus to come and to warn. So it's not always going to be you're going to get a new car or you're going to get this blessing. Here, Agabus came and said, you're getting ready to go through a test and you're getting ready to go through a trial, but God's going to be with you and God's going to be on your side. And so we must recognize that when these things do come in our lives, it's not coming to overthrow us. It's coming to build character. It's coming to make us more fruitful as a child of God. It may even prune us and take out stuff that does not need to be there, that cannot even enter into heaven, and things, because he said not a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. And you don't know what type of an iron that God's going to iron out the wrinkles in our life. We don't understand what type of even getting out the spots out of our lives is going to take place. But I tell you that God is working it all for the good in our life. Even if it's uncomfortable, it's still good and it's still God. And then because he's working something far that's going to have far greater weight and glory even in our lives, child of God. So be at peace. And knowing the same God that created you is the same God that created all things, and he will see you through. Now, when Luke, actually, and those present heard this prophecy, they would try to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. For this incident, we can learn a valuable lesson. There are times when we must act upon what we believe to be true, as the will of God for our lives, and assume all responsibility for whatever happens. Now, this is what Paul was doing. This is really especially true when God calls a minister to a certain place. The one called must move in the will of God, and sometimes leaving behind family, friends, and those who mean well but don't understand. This is illustrated in Paul's experience as he purposed with his made-up mind to go on no matter what the will of God might cost him personally. And then Acts chapter 21 and 13 said, "Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Now look at Paul's faith. He said, wait a minute, don't stop that crying. Come on, put up your tissues and stop crying. You're breaking my heart right now, Paul was saying. You're hurting me right now. You know I'm sold out for Jesus. You know I'm going to do Jesus' will. And you know I'll go there bound, not knowing what's going to befall me. But I'm going right now, and things, and my mind is made up. If I die in Jerusalem, I'll die for the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that was Paul's faith. And so what Paul was saying, wait a minute, I need you to stand with me now. I need you to encourage me now. I need you to be there and pray with me now. This is what it's all about. I'm going, if it's costing me my life, I'm going to do the will of God. And so they couldn't comprehend it because they wasn't there when God spoke to them and laid his will down in his heart. Paul knew the will of God for his life. And sometimes in our good intention and mindset, sometimes we don't all know the will of God for every individual, unless even like Agabus. God moved on Agabus to go talk to Paul and tell Paul what was getting ready to happen. And Paul knew, and I can attest to and believe that Paul knew something was going to happen, but the demonstration that came through Agabus only served as a confirmation of what God probably already told Paul and things. He's seen it through his own eyes and things to confirm what he was doing was right before God, that he was needed to go to Jerusalem, even if it was costing him his life. And such as it is, maybe, with those that listen today, that God is calling you to do things, calling you higher, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and prayerfully pray and seek in the heart and mind of God. And God will bring an open demonstration like he did for Paul, so all would know. And while Agabus was there sharing and telling, everybody heard what was getting ready to transpire. But out of their humanity, they said, "Oh, no, Paul, don't go. Don't. We don't want you to go." But out of their humanity, they cried. Instead of saying, "God, if this is your will, we're going to pray for the man of God. Paul, we're standing behind you and on your side," and things. And so we must recognize that that was his call to do the will of God. And so we must notice the beautiful response of those who had tried to dissuade Paul. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Acts 21 and 14. A true friend is one who will support and not criticize when one is going through difficult times. And sometimes difficult times can come in so many different fashion and ways. You know, everyone's cross is different. Everyone cross that they have to bear is different. But what the scripture does say, take up your cross and follow me. Whether it's marital dispute, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it is mental, whether it's an emotional test or trial or even cross, God said, take up your cross and follow me, and then keep following me. And so we as children of God, we must continue, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it feel like, following Christ, no matter if nobody else understands, God's going to raise up somebody that will be a true friend and say, follow Christ. I'm with you. I'm standing proxy. I may not understand it, but I'm going to stand by your side. True friends must stand behind the person who makes a decision and allow that person to follow what they feel the will of God is. They will not be like Job's friends who were more of a discouragement and hindrance when God allowed difficulty to pile up in Job's life. Let us be an encourager and enabler to those who God is testing and help them instead of dragging them down with our own opinion and things. And so we need to stop dragging people down with your opinion. You don't know what God is doing in their life, and we must build people up and help them as they're going through and things, whatever their test and trial for their life. Now, let us look further. Is that what a wonderful feeling of support and love Paul must have felt as several other disciples of Caesarea decided to accompany him on his journey to Jerusalem. Among them was, on his journey to Jerusalem, was an old disciple, Mnason of Cyprus, who provided them with lodging. Surrounded by the camaraderie of friends, Paul went forward into his uncertain future with knowledge that he was not alone. And so here, Paul was not left alone, and God did not allow him to walk through that test by himself. He sent people to help him. A disciple was there who provided the lodging, and he had a camaraderie of friends that walked along the side of him. And one of the things that we must recognize, we should not lose our loyalty for our sisters and brothers. We should be loyal to one another. When someone is going through that test or trial, be loyal to them. Stand by them. Pray for them. Walk with them and be with them. And even God will bless you for even your effort of doing that. Now, the increasing isolation of the people today is creating a great psychological problem. There are increased number of people who are suffering from depression, suicidal thoughts, and introversion. With the connectedness of computer through the internet, a person could almost stay in one spot and transact all business of their life. And even consequently, some people have tend towards isolation and drew themselves inward with a few, if any, meaningful relationship. On the other hand, technology changes can also present wonderful opportunity for soul winning. And when we reach out to the loners and isolated individual and build friendship and reach them for Jesus Christ. As a single man, this band of friends provided confirmation and assurance to Paul when he was on his journey. One can only imagine how Jesus must have felt as he faced the darkest of days of his life when he with the knowledge that all his disciples forsook him and fled, Matthew 26 and verse 56. Now, the loneliness was so intense that he eventually cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15 and 34. Perhaps the greatest things a person can do to make a lifelong friend is to be there for them in their hour of gloom and trouble. One will never forget those who supported him or helped them in time of need, and they will reciprocate it also in the future. Now, every child of God should be careful that they are sensitive to help those who are single or struggling through life alone, such as single moms or single dads, those who have never been married, or individuals who have lost their spouse to death. To remember these is pure religion, founded over in James chapter 1, verse 27. Moreover, there are more people in situation today than ever before. They need to feel included even in church activity, especially around holidays. They should never have to feel awkward or like they are odd, the odd person on the outside. Paul was probably apprehensive when he arrived in Jerusalem. When he went to Jerusalem in the past, it was usually to debate with the Judaizers and defend his ministry to the Gentiles. But now, arriving with a host of friends confirming his achievement, was gladly received by the brethren. Possibly this provided Paul with a bright spot of happy memories when later he went to Rome. Perhaps this was the only real thanks he will receive for the offering he encouraged the Gentiles to send to their hurting Jewish brethren in Jerusalem. What a blessing Paul's friends were. They were like roses along life's journey that provided a brief receipt from the harshness of the way. All people we know will face difficulty as we travel life roads. No matter how long the journey or how often a person has been tested, there will always be another challenge, another mountain to climb, another point of opposition to overcome. God in his wisdom will prepare us for these unforeseen events if we will love him, pray, listen to his word, and obediently follow his leading. Moreover, he will love, support, and comfort us during difficult times. What a blessing to know that he will never leave us or forsake us at that hour. Further, faithful friends also provide support and encouragement when needed. Let us all be a friend to those facing difficulties. We should resist the temptation to criticize, control, or force our opinions on others. Rather, we should resign ourselves to the will of God and enable our brothers and sisters to go forward with the knowledge that they have a friend who will support them no matter where God will lead them. And I tell you, that is the way to travel on life's journey, is to know that you have friends that are walking with you and supporting and praying on your behalf. So, child of God, I want you to know and to be encouraged as you forever and be in the will of God as he's continuing to lead and guide and direct your path into all truth. Father God, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your mercy and your grace in every storm, every test, every trial, Father, that you had allowed to come into our lives. We ask that you continue to fortify and strengthen your people and walk by our side and send people in to walk by each other's side as whatever test that we may face, that, Father, you will be always there, and God will give you the glory and the honor that is so graciously due unto your name. Bless, Lord, all of my listeners. Bless each and every one of them and keep them by and through your power divine. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor that's due unto you. Father God, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. And so, child of God, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. And again, we will say, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So, child of God, don't limit God, and take, as Israel will say, take the limit off and watch God do some great and marvelous things in and through your life. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. There's a no sorrow blessing coming to your house today. God bless you. It's my prayer. Until we meet again, bye-bye.